He had lived in the town of which it told, had taken part in the events it recounted. He had looked on the back and on the rear flap for the author's photograph, queerly certain that he would see a version of his own face looking back at him, the way he'd looked in 1975, when these events had taken place, most likely. But there had been no picture, just a note about the book's writer that told very little. He lived in the state of Maine. He was married. He'd written one previous book, quite well reviewed, if you believed the quotations on the back. "The greater the magic, the longer it persists," Cantab said, and then looked at Henchik questioningly.
"Aye," Henchik said, "magic and glamour both are one, and they do unroll from the back."
He paused.
"From the past, D.E. Ken."
"This door opened on many places and many times in the world my friends came from," Roland said. "I would open it again, but just on the last two, the most recent two. Can that be done?" They waited as Henchik and Cantab considered. The Mani were great travelers. If anyone knew, if anyone could do what Roland wanted, what they all wanted, it would be these folk. Cantab leaned deferentially toward the old man, the din of Kala Redpath. He whispered. Henchik listened, his face expressionless, then turned Cantab's head with one gnarled old hand and whispered back. Eddie shifted, and Roland felt him getting ready to break loose, perhaps to begin shouting. He put a restraining hand on Eddie's shoulder, and Eddie subsided, for the time being at least. The whispered consultation went on for perhaps 5 minutes, while the others waited. The sounds of celebration in the distance were difficult for Roland to take. God knew how they must make Eddie feel. At last Henchik patted Cantab's cheek with his hand and turned to Roland.
"We think this may be done," he said.
"Thank God," Eddie muttered, then louder. "Thank God! Let's go up there. We can meet you on the East Road." Both of the bearded men were shaking their heads, Henchik with a kind of stern sorrow, Cantab with a look that was almost horror.
"We'll not go up to the Cave of the Voices in the dark," Henchik said.
"We have to," Eddie burst out. "You don't understand. It's not just a question of how long the magic will or won't last. It's a question of time on the other side. It goes faster over there, and once it's gone, it's gone. Christ, Susanna could be having that baby right now, and if it's some kind of cannibal—"
"Listen to me, young fellow," Henchik said, "and hear me very well, I beg. The day is nigh gone."
This was true. Never in Roland's experience had a day run so quickly through his fingers. There had been the battle with the wolves early, not long after dawn, then celebration there on the road for the victory and sorrow for their losses, which had been amazingly small as things had fallen. Then had come the realization that Susanna was gone, the trek to the cave, their discoveries there. By the time they'd gotten back to the East Road battlefield, it had been past noon. Most of the townsfolk had left, bearing their saved children home in triumph. Henchik had agreed willingly enough to this palaver, but by the time they'd gotten back to the rectory, the sun had been on the wrong side of the sky. "We're going to get a nice rest after all," Roland thought, and didn't know whether to be glad or disappointed. He could use sleep. That much he did know.
"I listen and hear," Eddie said, but Roland's hand was still on his shoulder and he could feel the younger man trembling. "Even were we willing to go, we couldn't persuade enough of the others to come with us," Henchik said.
"You're their din."
"Aye, so you call it. And so I suppose I am, although it isn't our word, you can. In most things they'd follow me. And they know the debt they owe your quartet out of this day's work, and would say thank you anywhere they could. But they wouldn't go up that path and into that haunted place after dark."
Henchik was shaking his head slowly and with great certainty.
"No, that they will not do.